of the readings today may seem perhaps a bit strange, but they together speak to how God's promises mysteriously unfold across generations. A promise made in one generation is fulfilled many generations later. David, who we know as King David, the one chosen by God to follow Saul as the king of the territory of Israel, did not start life as royalty. Yet, as we heard in the reading from the book of Samuel, God forms a covenant with David, promising that for all time, the house, the family of David shall rule. Jesus and Gabriel's message to Mary is described as the inheritor of the throne of King David. The book of Samuel, which in our Bible is divided into two books, speaks to the complexities of trying to establish good government and the temptations of those who find themselves or who put themselves in positions of power. It documents the life of the great prophet Samuel and the transition from King Saul to King David. Saul and David's troubled family and political relationships are described in great detail. And if at this holiday time you are particularly in touch with complex and tense family relationships, trust me, David's family reaches a level of dysfunction that would be nearly impossible to match. So if you are feeling distressed that your own family has squabbles and difficulties and frustrations, read 1 and 2 Samuel and you will feel a whole lot better. As one commentator dryly concludes, as a king, a father, and a husband, David has the potential for great success and for horrible failure. He fulfills both. In the story, when God tells the prophet Samuel that Jesse's youngest son, David, is the anointed one, the one to be made king, God says, "The Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." And if David is any indication, then what God looks for is not hearts that are perfect, but hearts that can be transformed. Hearts that can be turned again and again to the ways of God's love. David is the youngest son, and he seems a highly unlikely candidate to be a king. In many ways, he is not a very good one, but he is the one chosen by God for that particular task, because he is essential to the long arc of the unfolding of God's promise. Mary, of course, arrives on the scene long after the time of King David. She is not royalty. Rather, there is everything to indicate that she is poor and of little notice. Her betrothed, Joseph, is a carpenter by trade, but they are not among the elite. They do not walk in the halls of the wealthy. Those in positions of power do not take any notice of them. And yet, when the angel Gabriel announces to Mary that she shall bear a son who shall be named Jesus, it is made very clear that this child is David's heir, the one who shall be given the throne of his ancestor David, and whose kingdom will have no end. For years, it would seem, the covenant God had made with David seemed no more. The people of the kingdom of Israel and Judah were subdued, occupied by the empire of Rome. The promise revealed through Samuel that God was forming a covenant with the family of David seemed long forgotten. The promise that Isaiah had made that a child would be born who would be the Prince of Peace seemed a laughable tale. But this brings us to the message of these texts and the underlying truth that is our hope and the meaning of this day. God does not forget God's promises. God does not forget. God simply fulfills them in unexpected ways in God's own time, rather than within the realm of our human reason and within our simplistic notion of time. Mary does not need to ask, who was David? What is this promise of which you speak? She, along with so many of her people, had carried the promise in her heart, in her very cells. The promise was passed from parent to child again and again and again. And so when an angel of God announces to her that she has been chosen to have an integral role in the ongoing fulfillment of God's promise, she questions only the process of what is to happen. She does not question whether the promise that God has made to save her people is good and true and real. The promise has been the ember that has warmed generations of her people in times of strife. Promises exist within the realm of mystery and uncertainty. God will save God's people, but when and where and how, only time will tell. In response to the question Mary is asked, she says, "How can this be?" But she does not receive a biology lesson in response, just an invitation into mystery. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, for with God, nothing is impossible. David reminds us that really, really messing things up does not mean we are not capable of being integral to God's plans. God uses the least likely individuals and sometimes the seemingly least worthy individuals to take part in the fulfillment of divine promises. Mary reminds us that God's promises are fulfilled over eons and generations at the least likely and more often than not the least convenient moment. Like Mary, we are inheritors of a promise of an earlier age. The promise that Jesus was more than the heir of the throne of David, but also the Holy Child of God, the incarnate one, the one in whom God became human, the one who would transform the meaning of royalty and kingship by reigning from the cross instead of from a throne, the one who would be called Lord, but would live as a servant to all. This morning is the quiet hush, the last breath before joyous celebration yet to come. It is a blessed moment in time for us to remember that we too are bearers of a promise of God. We too are called to wait and to do our part in the meantime. We are bearers of the promise that the inbreaking of God's kingdom that began in Jesus is continuing on and will be completed in full when he returns again. Some of you were here last week and heard read Denise Levertov's beautiful poem, Annunciation. In it, she writes these lines, "Aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Some unwillingly undertake great destinies and act them in sullen pride, uncomprehending. More often those moments when roads of light and storm open from darkness in a man or a woman are turned away from in dread, in a wave of weakness and despair and with relief. Ordinary lives continue. God does not smite them, but the gates close. The pathway vanishes." Take a deep breath and feel the embers of God's promise warming your heart. I have loved you. I do love you. I will love you. This is God's promise. I have loved you. I do love you. I will love you. Sometimes God speaks through glorious angels, and sometimes God speaks in a still and quiet voice. God is calling us to hope once again. God is calling us to trust in the promise. And God may very well be using us right now, this very day, to bear divine love to someone known or unknown to us, someone who is hungry for that message of love. The only question for us is, can we, like Mary, say, "Yes, let it be with me according to your word"? Amen.